Welcome to Women Got Game, where we uncover untold stories of extraordinary women in sports across Northwest Ohio and beyond. I'm Sophia Fisher, and we're going to celebrate the evolution of female athletes, coaches, and sports enthusiasts. Let's dive into a world often overlooked in the broader sports narrative. Ready to explore? Let's play. Today, we're exploring the exhilarating and demanding world of rowing with two talented and dedicated athletes, the remarkable women of Notre Dame Academy's rowing team, including both a current and former rower. Rowing is a sport that combines grace, power, and endurance, and these women exemplify all these qualities and more. From everyday practices to the intense competitions, they put their hearts and souls into every stroke. Today, we're going to hear about their journeys, the camaraderie that fuels their success, and the challenges they overcome together. So allow me to introduce our guests. We have with us today Bella Shaw and Madeline Golding. Hey, ladies, it's an honor to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you so much.
So let's start by sharing what inspired you to get into rowing.
Madeline, do you want to start?
Go ahead.
Sure. So I honestly was inspired by my sister when she first joined, and I would go to these regattas that were out of town, and it just seemed like such a close-knit community that I wanted to be a part of. So I decided to give it a try. So
yeah, and Bella?
I first started rowing my freshman year. Her sister, Abby, is one of my closest friends. We both started it with an influence from our friend, and I had no idea what rowing was, absolutely no idea. But I started rowing, and it was just incredible to see how, a boat could come together. And I started out as a rower, not as a coxswain, so it was definitely a different perspective, but I'm appreciative of it, and it's taught me a lot.
Let's step back a little bit before we get into some other questions and talk a little bit about the basics of rowing and maybe provide, to our listeners today a general overview about the positions within a crew team.
Okay, yeah. So our team specifically, we use 4 boats and 8 boats, and we sweep instead of scull. Scull is when each person on the boat uses 2 oars, and sweeping is each person on the boat uses 1 oar, so it's every other person has a different side of oar. And we use 4 boats and 8 boats, both with coxswains, because there are boats that don't use coxswains. Both of ours do. And you have the stroke seat, which is at the front of the boat, who's kind of sets the rhythm. And then there's, 7 seat, 6 seat, 5 seat, so on until the last seat is bow. And it's the same for a 4 boat. There's the stroke seat, and then 3 and 2, and bow. So,
Bella, can you tell us a little bit about the general responsibilities for each position and go into that a little more?
Yeah, of course. So I would say stroke seat and 7 seat, they're pretty much the best people in the boat that can hold a good rhythm, and they know how to hit a beat consistently. And then we have the middle 4 for an 8 boat, 6, 5, 4, 3, who are more the powerhouse, so they're more strong, and they are more reliable in that sense. And then bow pair, so 2 and bow, they're usually more technically fit. They have really good set. They're able to maneuver their blades really cleanly and get it in the water, because they are just falling from all the way in the back watching stroke seat, so it's a little different. And then the coxswain is more responsible for really how the boat runs, the stroke rate, where they are, if they're doing a power piece, motivating the crew, steering. I guess I'm a little bit biased because I am a coxswain, but I think they have a lot of responsibilities.
Yeah, it sounds like each position, though, is really vital, right, to the boat's overall performance, right? You're requiring the rowers to work in harmony together,
right.
I would imagine, and that's the way you can achieve optimal speed and accuracy.
Yeah, one person's off, it's the whole boat kind of goes into chaos, so you guys have to be really close to make a good boat, I think.
Got
to
be all vibing at the same time, right? That makes sense. So let's talk a little bit more about that as far as training and preparation, okay? Can you tell us about a typical day of training? What does that look like for you individually and as a team?
It's a little bit different in the spring and in the fall, because fall we do more distance pieces at regattas, and spring is all 1500 meter pieces, so it's a lot short distance. But basic day, you get there, we always try and get there around 15 to 30 minutes early to help set up, because it's a lot of equipment to get down, you know, boats, oars, launches. So get there early, and then immediately we go, right when practice starts, run a mile and come back, do stretches, and then kind of just whatever we need to work on that day. If we're working on just getting meters in, we'll just do regular steady state, which is kind of just calmer rowing for longer periods of time. Or if we're having a more in-depth workout, maybe, you know, we had a 4x1700, so on an erg it's 1700 meters, and then you have a little rest, and then, you know, you do that three more times. And then there are some days where it's just form work, where we'll go out on the water, get our form down, more of the technical things. So yeah.
So would you say start to finish, what's that look like? Is it a couple hours?
Our practice is usually about 2 hours and 15 minutes, from 5 to 7:15, but a lot of our girls get there at like 4:30 p.m. Cause there's, as Madeline said, there's so much equipment, oars, launches, getting things together, because our coach also makes lineups the day of, since it's kind of tentative to see who will be showing up that day because sickness and things like that.
Challenges, let's talk about that. What are some of the biggest challenges that you face during training? Because I can imagine the weather has something to play a part of it, of course, especially Northwest Ohio weather, right?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that. And also juggling, you know, school and training. You know, tell us a little bit more about that.
Honestly, for me, the biggest challenge was adjusting to going from doing nothing after school all day to having something every single day and on the weekends. Along with school, it was hard balancing my grades at first, but it was probably one of my biggest challenges, and I'm still kind of figuring it out, but it's gotten a lot easier managing my time over like the course. But also the mental block during, you know, hard pieces, especially in the fall, just that mental block that makes you want to stop rowing because you're just so tired, but you just have to keep going and keep going. Especially hard for me in the fall because it's longer pieces, and personally it's a lot harder to pace myself for those. So honestly, just that mental block of, you know, keep going, you're with your team, you got to finish this race. So yeah.
Is it harder during competition, I mean during season, when you're up against opponents? Is that more draining or straining on your body as well? How do you bounce back?
I think it's more exciting, honestly, because winter training can be so draining sometimes because we're not on the water. We're just erging, running, abs, as much like cardio as we can. But during season, we're able to like actually race people and get to the exciting part of rowing. I think that's, especially for me as a coxswain, that's like the best part. The adrenaline boost, everything is the best part of that. But definitely it can be draining. I mean, mentally it's hard when you're not really seeing progress, since rowing is very, I guess it's back and forth of progress, so especially on the erg, I mean, as a coxswain, it's hard to gauge where you are because progress is really, you can only really see it during a race, but trying as much as you can during practice, outside of practice, trying to get yourself to be motivated to work harder, I think.
So let's talk about race formats then. What are the different formats of rowing races, head races, regattas? How is your particular competition structured?
So for a sprint race, it'll be 1500 meters. We usually go up to the starting dock, we'll launch our boat, roll the boat into the water, getting our oars in, rope to the start. We'll do usually like a start piece and some power pieces, find our issues really quickly and fix them. And then getting up to the start for a sprint race, you stake boat, so you'll back the boat in, have someone physically laying down holding the stern of your boat as you adjust your point, trying to point in a straight direction, since for sprint races, it's just a straight shot. And then it'll be a little different. I mean, different coxswains do different race plans. But, and then in the fall, it'll usually be about, I believe, 5,000 meters, depending on the course you're at. For example, Head of the Cuyahoga, I believe, is 4,000-ish meters. And it's a lot different since there's so many turns, and it's a lot longer distance, so the coxswain is different as well. It's a lot less high intensity. And rowing up to the start, it takes like 25, 30 minutes. So you have a lot of time with your boat. You can find a lot of different issues to fix. While at a spring race, you have to get going really quick.
Sure, you have to be deciding a lot more quickly.
Yeah, definitely.
So that brings me to race strategy, okay? How do rowers typically, and the team as well, strategize for a race? I mean, are you looking at tapes of other people and other schools rowing? I mean, what happens in the preparation of that? What do you guys do?
A lot of it just is at practice, preparing yourself. But a lot of the times, you know, if it's a really important regatta, like regionals or nationals, we'll look at our competition the night beforehand, find out their previous race times, compare it to ours, and then we'll kind of strategize from there, you know, see who we're up racing against in our specific heat, and just finding out, you know, okay, well, we know that these people normally go kind of fast at the start, but they slow down at the finish, you know, how can we adjust to that? Also, creating a plan, usually the night or morning of the regatta, and just kind of talking, okay, do we plan on going fast at this part, at this part? What stroke rate should we be going at? It's good to create a baseline, even though, you know, 50, 60% of the time we do not follow it. It's just, you know,
in the moment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I said tapes, like it's old school, but like, is there video available? Do you look at other teams when they row in competition video wise in modern day, right?
I mean, I don't like our specific competition. You don't really see a lot of coxing recordings, but that's mostly the tapes you would find is how other people cox, but you can find their race plans when you listen to them. I know for me, by mentally preparing, I will watch other collegiate coxswains doing, or Olympic coxswains, their coxswain recordings and listening to that. And I think mentally preparing as well, like before we race and the night before, as Madeline said, we'll have a boat talk and we'll kind of put a baseline of what we want from this race. What do we want to do? How do we want to place? I mean, obviously placing isn't everything, but at some point you want to be competitive. And a moment before the race, we'll stretch, we'll do anything. We'll have our final boat talk and we'll kind of talk it out. Because, you know, the nerves will get to you. And I think the best part is, like, you have to be calm, especially, like, for the rowers and the coxswain. If you're calm, then you'll have a good race. But if you're frantic and you're showing your nerves, like, you can tell a race is going to maybe be a little frantic. You might not follow your race plan. But it's good to lay it all out there right before. So that's what we usually do. I think mentally being there is a lot more important sometimes than the actual strength, because rowing is mostly a mental race. If you beat out your opponents mentally, you can probably pull ahead.
Oh, it's interesting because, you know, we often think of, you know, rowing, you know, is it upper body strength? Is it lower
yeah.
body? But, it, you know, you're seeing the rowing, but in all actuality, it seems like it all has to really gel together.
Yeah.
Not just the physical endurance
yeah.
and all of you playing your, you know, particular roles, but also that mental capacity for all of you to be on the same page, same time. And then in real time, it sounds like especially your role, Bella, as the coxswain, you have to really make some calls quickly and kind of keep everybody moving at the right pace, rather.
Definitely, yeah.
So let's talk about team spirit. But before that, how many people are on a team, actually? Do you carry, like, a first string, second string? Is it similar to other sports? Or is it mainly just varsity, junior varsity, and then in the college level as well, or high school, is it the same?
It's kind of hard because we're an all-girls school, and our team is a lot smaller than
yeah.
a lot of other teams that we race. So especially since we're all girls, and there are a lot of co-ed schools at regattas. So our team has how many people?
I think 26, like 25. We have a very small team.
Yeah, compared to others who have like 50 plus, you know, it's...
That's a pretty big size. I didn't realize
yeah,
that.
It's a pretty big difference. But and we kind of split it up, but it's kind of hard for ours because our team is so small. So there's the novice who are the people who first come. You know, I don't think you become a junior varsity until you've done two seasons.
Yeah.
So and then there's varsity, which is all seniors, kind of.
We have a very loose term for varsity, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people row up. A lot of people don't.
So it's kind of hard to tell because, you know, seniors can only race varsity races.
Correct.
But, you know, anybody else can race, like, you know, novice and junior varsity, they can still race up at varsity level. And, you know, there was a boat last season, a junior eight, Bella coxed, who made it to nationals with novice on that boat. So
yeah, we had two freshmen and one freshman in the reserve for that boat, which is pretty crazy to have a junior eight with like that many freshmen in it going to nationals. But
wow, incredible. That's fantastic. It speaks a lot to your program. And furthering the convo about team and moving into the actual team spirit conversation, I read somewhere that Notre Dame Academy rowing team broke the world record in a large team continual row, which was like a new 64-hour record was set last year. Can you tell me about that? That's pretty cool.
Oh my gosh. That was the best team bonding I think we had. We stayed in the school and we pretty much had, quote, free reign of the school. So we slept in our resource center and we erged in Fitz Commons, which is kind of like a common area. And we hung out, like the whole team hung out, and it was a great bonding experience. And I think honestly, NDA rowing has like some of the best team spirit, and like we're so close that it just seems different than a lot of the sports that you hear about.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, and leading into that, I guess really let's talk about, I'm sure you've had a lot of memorable moments, but I think before we move on to that, I want to ask Bella, what has the transition been like for you? I mean, you're coming from, you know, high school, going, you know, into the college arena. What do you see so far that's different, or what you...
I think, well, collegiate rowing, you have a lot more people on the team, more funding, obviously. And so far, I haven't really gotten into it too much since I'm starting this fall, but I've seen a lot of my teammates, and it's very different. It's coming from a small team, because a lot of my teammates have competed at, like, club nationals, or they're on the U.S. rowing for, like, the junior team, like, the national team. And it's pretty impressive, and I'm a little culture shocked, to be honest, but I'm excited, and it's definitely a little different than NDA rowing, and it could be a little scary in that aspect, but I like the vibe of my team so far, and I think that's mostly what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I just wondered if the rules were different at all or anything like that.
So there's certain things banned. I know, like, commercial energy drinks that a lot of teenagers in high school will drink, like Celsius, are banned, which isn't really a problem for me because I don't drink energy drinks. There's also things like, what else? Let me think. NCAA rules, there's so many, but...
So you go into the realm of dealing with compliance and...
Oh, yeah.
The realm of, you know, what you can and can't do,
yeah,
and representation, and I don't know if NIL is going to be a factor for you for name, image, and likeness, if there's any sponsorship opportunities for individual student-athletes for rowing, but it's a whole different world, I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So... Well, I'm excited to see what you do there, and and wishing you the best.
Thank you.
And Madeline, you still got ways to go. You're going to be a junior this year.
Yeah, I'm just past halfway through high school, so I still have two more years to see what all happens. But I'm excited, but it's going to be very different without the seniors because they are crucial to, you know, our team. And, you know, my sister, Bella, you know, it's just going to be very different without them.
Sure, so. and your sister, she rode for Notre Dame Academy, and she's in college now, right? She's, where at?
She's just, she just got accepted into Stetson in Florida, and she's going to be rowing down there.
Gotcha, so she's just starting, okay.
Yeah.
Excellent, that's awesome. So hopefully you're following your sister's footsteps. Is that your goal?
In a way, maybe, but...
Too soon.
Yeah.
All right. I already got you in college. So let's talk about memorable moments then, you know, and going into that. What would you say, Bella, was your most memorable race or accomplishment in rowing so far?
I think sophomore year, we had a junior four. It was my first season coxing, like, ever. So it was brand new. We had this junior four at Abby. Madeline's sister was actually in it as, I believe, bow seat. And we had no idea going into regionals like that we would do well at all. We've never rode this lineup before at a race. It was kind of shocking. I mean, it was the finals race, and we had qualified for nationals, which was a pretty big program jump after COVID. And it was just shock. Like, I had no idea what that meant. I didn't know what nationals for rowing were. This was my first season coxing, so it was just like a dream come true, honestly. And the people in the boat, my sister, who couldn't be here today, Courtney Kennedy, Abby Golding, and Madeline DeSena, those people, I grew so close to them after that race, and it was honestly so memorable. I mean, I remember our coach, like, jumping up and down because of her excitement, and the whole team screaming on the beach. Like, it was awesome, and actually, Madeline got to kind of experience something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's very cool. Shout out to Kat Sprague.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
So very cool. Madeline, what would you say is your most memorable race? Obviously, you got a couple more years, but...
Yeah, honestly, it's like almost a replica of what Bella said this past spring season. I was in a junior four boat competing at Midwest Regionals, and it was Sunday. It was, you know, we were in finals. We were in A finals. We knew we had the shot. And we were in fifth overall from, I think, 24 boats. So, we, you know, we hoped to get top three, make it to nationals, but it wasn't completely on our radar because we were focusing on, like, okay, we don't want to get our hopes up. But the race was just, it was the best race ever. And we were at a higher stroke rate than I think we've, like, ever been at. It was a really hard race to row because it just went on and on, but it was really fun. And, you know, hearing our coxswain say that we were in second place was a huge thing for me, especially because I was stroking the boat, so I was the top seat and I was really nervous about that. But finding out that we got second place was, you know, absolutely insane, because we honestly couldn't tell. The boats were all so close, so we had to wait until the results came in. And for some reason, our results were taking longer than everyone else's results to come in, so we were just kind of sitting there waiting anxiously. And then finding out we got second and that we would be going to nationals was, like, absolutely insane. It didn't even feel real, so... I think that was my best moment.
You were definitely psyched, man, on top of the world, I bet.
Yeah, it was, oh my gosh.
To achieve that. So let's talk about rivalries. You know, you often hear of, especially where we live, you know, they're like, you know, I-75, battle of I-75, BJUT. So do you have any, you don't have to name schools necessarily, but just saying, are there bigger rivals that you have a fun rivalry with competitively that you would say every year they're like right at the top that you want to aspire to beat? Is there anything like that?
I think we have some fun rivalries. I think everyone in rowing is pretty friendly. I mean, when we're on the water, we talk to other teams. Over the past 4 years, I think our biggest rival, I mean, I'm friends with most of the girls on the team, but at Orchard Lake St. Mary's, they're fast competition. It's always a blast to race them, but man, they're fast, and so we always want to gun and get them. And then we always have Toledo teams as well, like St. Ursula and Perrysburg. We don't race St. John's because they're all boys, but I mean, racing those
teams. Oh, that'd
teams
be a fun event, wouldn't it?
Hey, yeah, I would love to race them.
What do you think? I think you ladies
can. Yeah, I'm team Notre Dame for that.
Me too.
Did you see that? We're putting it out there, guys, so let us know. You can call me and we'll set it up. So let's talk about, that leads me to mental toughness. How do you stay, you've referenced that a couple times in our conversation, how do you stay mentally tough during those grueling practices and your races, and how do you, what any skills that you really lean in on, you know, is it prior, is it quiet time, is it meditation, is it really relying on the cox to pull you all together? Let's discuss that a little bit.
I think that having a light spirit during practice or, like, at the start of a race will completely change the mood, and, there's a girl who I'm friends with, Aya, who's on our team, who was in the four boat, and she's very good at keeping the spirits light right before a race, which completely calms everyone's nerves. And honestly, I think it's one of the main reasons we did so well at Midwest was because of her. And same goes for practice, just staying in a light mood and knowing that the best you can do is your personal best, and that's all you can give. So, yeah.
What about you, Bella?
I think what Madeline said is honestly completely true. I mean, I think our team is full of jokesters, but that makes us, like, that much closer. I think being on the water, we take it seriously, but we're able to have fun. I mean, that's really what we're here for, to have fun while rowing. That's what makes us, like, faster, having fun, being able to push ourselves, but also, at the end of the day, you put in your best work. Let's try harder tomorrow, but also let's have fun. I think that's what makes rowing more fun for me, less mentally tough, especially after, like, taking a hard loss or something. Just remember, you put in everything that you could into that race, you love the people you're rowing with, and you're having fun.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's got to be beautiful, really, when you're on the water on certain days, especially, you know, depending on what time of year you're training, of course, mm-hmm. but, you know, I'm sure the elements, You know, probably just nice to, sometimes I'm sure it's a little chilly, sometimes it's hot, whatever it is that day, but I think you probably got to take in the surroundings. It's one of the few sports that you are actually in water outside. You know, it's not like you're indoor swimming or something. Yeah. So that's got to help, I would think, with your mental capacity.
Definitely. Downtown Toledo skyline and that mural is just beautiful to row past. I mean, it's great to see all the nature.
Excellent. Well, with women's rowing becoming more popular, especially at the Olympic level, I think that's provided a great advancement and exposure for women in rowing in particular. But how do you see the role of women in rowing evolving in the future? Madeline, you want to go first?
Sure. So honestly, I never saw rowing as, you know, a predominantly male-dominated sport. But it, you know, at regattas, you see all these women who are just completely ripped and, you know, going so fast. It was honestly really, really inspiring going to my first regatta and just seeing all these women who are, some of them were taller than me, and I'm pretty tall, I'm like 5'7", and normally I'm like the tall girl on the team, but no, you know, seeing women who were built and who were just so dedicated to the sport was really, really inspiring. And especially coming from an all-girls school, seeing all these women doing so many great things in their own sport, and, you know, personally rowing, seeing, you know, Bella, Abby getting signed, going to college for rowing, it just, I feel like it's really growing, it really is, with all these, like, good role models, so.
So you think at the high school level and collegiate level, you're going to see more and more women's rowing, you know, opportunities. I see, right, you mentioned that you never saw the disparity necessarily men versus women. It seems to be pretty equal from what I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, women's rowing is NCAA recognized, while men's rowing is more, I believe, a club sport most of the time. So honestly, seeing that and, like, having a sport that's more recognized as a women's sport, I guess, I mean, that's, I guess, a little subjective, but I think it's awesome, and I think it's so nice to see, because, like Madeline said, I really never saw this sport really being dominated by men. I mean, I guess it's because we grew up in an all-girls school, but it's, like, so awesome to see all my friends, the people I'll be going to college with, all being women. Going on to an all-women's team is just really inspiring, and we've never had any men coaches. I think that's honestly helped us grow a lot. We're really close with all of our women coaches, as well as our teammates, and I think that's really what helps us, and as well, like, the amount of women in this sport who are, like Madeline said, bulked up, ripped, like, so strong. It's so inspiring. It's so awesome to see.
What lessons, or one lesson, would you say that each of you have learned from rowing that apply to areas of life?
As a coxswain, one of the biggest lessons I've learned is confidence. I, believe it or not, was introvert before I got into rowing and coxed. So being able to cox and getting that confidence was crucial to developing myself as a person. Realizing that my voice and the words that I used could impact people and create change and be powerful as a leader has really helped me grow throughout high school, and it's going to continue to help me to grow through college.
What about you, Madeline?
I'd have to say my mindset, it's changed a lot with school from rowing. So, you know, just the idea that, you know, you just got to do it, you know, studying, you just got to do it if you want that good grade on a test, which is like, you know, if you want to win in rowing, you just got to do it. You just got to work out. So honestly, just that, and like time after doing fall, like my perception of time was completely different, because 15 minutes did not, it felt like 5. So just like, I feel like I've somewhat been more patient, you know, with classes. Our classes are, we have 4 periods a day, so it can feel really long, but I feel like with rowing, it's taught me to break down the time, break it up into pieces, and it's just, I don't know, probably that being my biggest lesson.
I totally agree.
So what about mentors? Any particular mentors that you follow? It doesn't have to be in rowing, just curious as if you know, or any particular, you know, people you follow that you think are inspirational.
I think, I don't want to give her too much credit, but our coach, Catherine Sprague-Monroe, is definitely a big mentor in my life. She has helped me a lot through rowing. And then my brother, as well as my sister, she's awesome. Like, all these people in my life have definitely helped me, who to become who I am. And so I definitely credit to anything that I do in my life to those three.
Yeah, is it Maya Pfister? She's at University of Notre Dame.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, excellent.
And of course, I have to shout out my mom. I mean, she does everything for rowing. She's like the regatta mom. I mean, come on.
That's awesome. What about you, Madeline?
Yeah, I'd have to say, you know, my coach, Coach Kat, she's just kind of something about the way she coaches just makes me want to do better. It makes me want to impress her. It makes me, you know, crave for to win and to do my best, and but in a healthy way. And also, my sister, Abby, she's always been, I feel like, in my opinion, a force. You know, we would have school and then practice until 7:15, and then afterwards she'd go and babysit for like 2 to 3 hours. So she's just, and she's very on top of her grades. So it was like, it was just really inspiring. And she's like, honestly, the perfect role model to have in life with her hard work. So.
Well, ladies, as a final takeaway for today, I'm going to ask you one final question here. What advice would you give to someone just starting out in rowing, or encourage a young female athlete who's, you know, wants to try it? What would you tell them?
I would say it gets better, because, you know, when I first started, it was during the winter, and so I was all just doing winter training, and I barely spoke to anybody. I was just so nervous, and I was so behind everybody because everybody else had done it in the fall and I was joining in the spring. And it was just, I don't know, it was really nerve-wracking. And also the mental part, I would want to give up the entire race. It was so hard, but it got so much easier throughout the season, especially being with your team. So yeah, it gets better.
Bella?
And I think my word advice is surrounding yourself with good people, because when you believe in yourself or you can't believe in yourself, you still have those people around you that believe in you. So whatever motivation you need, they will give it to you. Though surrounding yourself with good people, I think, is crucial to developing as a person, as a rower, as any person in any sport.
Yeah, very well said. And I agree. And ladies, I'd like to thank you for spending time with us today. Bella, Madeline, you got game.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As we wrap up this insightful conversation, it's clear that rowing is more than just a sport. It's a testament to the power of teamwork, dedication, and perseverance. The remarkable women of Notre Dame Academy's rowing team have shared their journey, challenges, and triumphs, highlighting the essence of what it means to be a rower. Rowing not only builds physical strength, but also fosters mental resilience and camaraderie that extends beyond the water. These athletes exemplify the dedication and spirit required to excel throughout life. For those listening, we hope you've gained a deeper understanding of the sport and the incredible effort that goes behind each stroke. If you're considering taking up rowing, let these stories motivate you to take the next step. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, keep striving for excellence. Special thanks to our guests, Bella Shaw and Madeline Golding, from the Notre Dame Academy crew, and to my executive producer, Chris Pfeiffer. I'm your host and producer, Sophia Fisher. Feel free to visit us at wgte.org/womengotgame.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.